Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, February 16th, 2010 here. A lot of good stuff going on there. The phone lines are open, 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933. Oathman's in the control room, ready to answer the phone call and put you right on the air here. All of our systems seem to be running today. The webcam is running. We've got viewers at Ustream. Both chat rooms are open, and everything seems to be running smoothly, which is a refreshing change right here. And we did a lot of tweaking on our brand new server last night, and that seems to be running considerably better right now. Now, before I get into the stories I really wanted to talk about here, I was just watching on TV where they're talking about this so-called number two in Taliban commander has been captured in Pakistan. Now, earlier today, the news was reporting that our offensive in Afghanistan had been bogged down. And my comment to that was only yesterday he was saying, we'll be done in 2 days and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, very predictive and obviously trying to make this thing look as positive as possible for the American people. And any military commander knows you don't make a reckless prediction like that. We're going to be done, you know, in 2 days. Mission accomplished. Good example there. And so they got bogged down today, and then all of a sudden we get hit with this news that they have captured the number two Taliban military commander in Pakistan. And supposedly now they're saying they captured him several days ago. Now the Taliban is saying, we don't know who you've got, but it's not the guy you think it is. And just now they had a White House press conference where the spokesperson would neither confirm nor deny what's going on here. Now, we know that Barack Obama is desperate for good news to placate a war-weary America. We also know that if news that a major commander was captured got out, and this is all over the place if you look on a search engine, it would have a serious demoralizing effect on the remaining Taliban who are out there fighting. So the possibility that this is a mistaken identity or just an outright propaganda stunt cannot be discarded. And as I said, the White House press spokesman is not willing to discuss this, will not confirm or deny. So we don't know what's going on there. Now, another thing that Barack Obama is talking about, apparently they're going to devote some $8 billion to the construction of new nuclear reactors in order to reduce our greenhouse gas and global warming situation. I don't know how to be the one to tell you this, but reactors put out a lot of heat, and it doesn't just go away. Usually they've got, you know, a river or ocean water or something coming through, or even just these huge cooling towers that put heat and moisture back up into the atmosphere. And, you know, I'm all in favor of alternative energy, but fission reactors are dangerous, as we know from Three Mile Island and Dimona and Chernobyl. The storage of the waste from nuclear reactors, it continues to be a major problem. Now, we know that China has succeeded in getting hot fusion power generation to work. Why are we not going with that technology? Maybe the U.S.'s kind of government is kind of annoyed because China is dumping the treasuries right now and really beating up on the dollar. But we know there's a better way. I mean, forget all the controversy about cold fusion. A lot of people claim they're getting results on that thing, small-scale power generation, no risk of a runaway chain reaction, no risk of explosions, no toxic after effects. China has achieved break-even on their hot fusion reactors. We ought to just be buying power stations from China and get away from this whole nuclear fission thing anyway. Can you imagine if Iran was building a fusion power station? There'd be no excuse for the war because you can't make a bomb out of the materials coming out of a fusion power station. Mostly because it's helium. You can fill up a balloon. All right. Speaking of our new server, we had a little bit of a positive news when we got up this morning. Somebody released a list of the top 100 conservative websites, and what really happened was number 29. We even beat out Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter's and a couple of the other websites as well that are not getting the traffic that we're getting. So I was a little bit pleased about that, and I immediately contacted our advertising manager and said, raise our rates. because we're getting out there. What's interesting, though, is that they're calling me a conservative website. Because it's interesting, because when Bush was in office and I was going after his lies and deceptions, everybody said, he's a liberal. He's a liberal. So, you know, and it's a problem with being somebody who's issue-driven and focusing just on the corruption, because the Republicans think I'm a Democrat and the Democrats think I'm a Republican, and the Israelis all think I'm a Nazi and the Nazis all think I'm a Jewish stooge. And it just, you know, everybody thinks I got to be working for the other side. I'm just working for the truth here. All righty. So moving right along here. And, we've got a caller on the line already. Peter in California. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Mike. I've been trying to reach your, get on your website all day long, and the last entry is for the 14th.
Okay, what's going on there? I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to mention it a little bit later in the show. We changed servers over the weekend. And in order to go from the old server, that old junky thing, to the brand new hip chrome-plated with headers and turbocharging on the new server, we have to change the DNS entry. And what that means is DNS, domain name server, is the system that takes a name for a website and maps it to the IP address of the physical hardware. Unfortunately, DNS is not an immediate changeover. And there are apparently some parts of the country, and indeed the world, where it hasn't quite percolated through yet. And it may take another day or so, but if you're seeing the website and the top stories are on the 14th, you are looking at the old server, which is still running. And we're waiting for DNS to complete its propagation so that everybody's seeing the new server. And then we will, shut the old box down and set fire to it and dance around the ashes or something like that. So that's why you're seeing the old site. And if you're hearing me and you're looking at this thing and you're seeing stories ending at the 14th, you are still seeing the old website. And unfortunately, because we're using virtual domain naming on this server, because we're having a couple of different what really happened aliases come to it, we can't just give you the IP. If you load the IP in, you get this default page that really doesn't take you anywhere. So that's the situation. We're still going through the change, but certainly by the end of the week, these problems will be taken care of.
All right, thanks, Mike. Just checking.
All right, you got it. No problems like that. And by the way, since we did the story about the thing in Australia yesterday, all of a sudden all the trace routes and everything started working, and I got an email from somebody saying, oh, our bad, it was a router misconfiguration. And that was why some of the people in Australia were not able to get through. Apparently Rudd has hit a brick wall on his whole internet censorship thing. New Zealand has rejected it. France, unfortunately, their legislature just voted it through. So France is behind the Silicon Curtain now. At the same time that Iceland is saying we're going to be the bastion of freedom of speech and intellectual, whistleblower protection and everything like that. So the world is reshaping. The countries that used to be democracies are becoming tyrannies, and the countries that used to be really messed up are all of a sudden seeming very attractive places. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. But I wanted to start out here at the top with an interesting story that came out this morning called the Geithner Factor. Apparently the Internal Revenue Service went out and conducted a customer service survey. And they were asking a whole bunch of questions of taxpayers, in an effort to, make themselves look a little bit better. Should the sheriff of Nottingham put us in blue suits as opposed to red suits? Would it be, a little more comfortable when we came over and took your chickens and pig this afternoon? Anyway, one of the questions they asked was, do you feel it's okay to try and cheat on your taxes? And apparently because of Tim Geithner's and other U.S. government officials being caught cheating on their taxes, the number of people responding to the Internal Revenue Service saying that it's okay to cheat went up by quite a wide margin. And I'm assuming that probably most of the people responding to this questionnaire weren't being 100% honest anyway, because I'm sure it's in the back of their head. They know who I am, and if I say I think it's okay to cheat on taxes, it's a guarantee I'm going to get audited. So it's for certain that the numbers they actually came up with were probably a little bit low. All right, we're coming down to the end of this segment. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about tax forms and Gulliver's travels and global warming. Yes, there is a common link. We'll be talking about that when we come back from these words from our sponsors. Join us on the air, 866-582-9933, and we'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I want to share a story with you. A friend of ours, friend of the family, another family just moved here from outside the United States about a year ago, and they just got done doing their taxes, and they were caught a little bit off guard by the taxation rate. And then they got caught off guard again. They went to a tax preparer because, you know, the tax codes and the forms, and it's a complete mess. Complete mess. And wherever it was they went to get their taxes done, it came out to something like $200 for each form that was required. And basically the bill for the tax preparation exceeded the refund. So, you know, they're a little upset. They're already talking about leaving and going back to where they came from in about another 6 months. And I don't blame them. I absolutely don't blame them here. But, you know, I got to thinking about this because the other day I was telling you about on my wife's hair dryer. You know, there's the hair dryer, you know, made in China. And then there are all these stickers all over it for safety warning this and inspected that and in compliance with this and all the rest. And it reminds me of when you go to the hardware store and you buy a ladder and there's a sticker on there saying the correct way to use the ladder is to, you know, have both feet firmly in the ground. And, you know, somebody had to print that sticker up and somebody got paid to put it on there, probably because somebody got sued somewhere down the road. But, you know, the bottom line is, if you need to read that sticker, you shouldn't be using that ladder. It's like getting a hammer, and there's a sticker on the handle saying the metal part is facing away from you. Do not hit yourself in the head with it. And I started thinking about it. Now we've all heard of Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. Now, the general pop culture presentation is simply Gulliver's visit to Lilliput, where he is this huge person and everybody else is very tiny. And then the second journey is to the land of the giants. Okay, but in the actual book, which is worth reading, I might add, there were additional voyages that Gulliver took, additional travels. And they're not included in the movies because it is in these lands that Jonathan Swift made some comments on the evils of society as he saw them, much as L. Frank Baum made some very covert but cogent comments on the our society in The Wizard of Oz. Okay, one of the lands that Gulliver goes to is called Laputa, and it has a ruling class of people who are so self-important, they never do anything for themselves. They're just always thinking and cogitating about all kinds of things that have absolutely no connection whatsoever with reality. And they employ people to do things for them. The generic term is the flappers. So that when these leaders have to talk, the flappers will, like, push this little balloon bladder thing to move the jaw, and another flapper will wiggle the ear of the person who is supposed to be listening, and all these other ceremonial positions that don't actually do anything, but they are required by the social custom and by the law. And it's a complete waste of time and a complete waste of money. But it is simply what they are used to, and it keeps everybody fully employed. Believe it or not, during the Salem witchcraft trials, which was supposed to be a civilian court, I might add, they actually hired somebody to stand in the courtroom with a broom swinging it through the air to keep the evil spirits from entering the courtroom. And this was a paid gig out of local tax revenues. This is what a flapper is, somebody who is legislated into a job that looks like it's supposed to be important but doesn't actually produce anything of value. And it finally dawned on me that we are a land of flappers. Now, they're not as obvious as to move the jaws of our politicians, with the possible exception of Sarah Palin. But our flappers are the people who make and stick on stickers, and the professional filler-outers of endless mandated paperwork forms, including the tax preparers, and the millions of taxpayer-funded inspectors to make sure that we comply with the millions of regulatory requirements legislated into being solely to justify the creation of jobs at taxpayer expense. This whole global warming hoax, they talk about the green job creation this was going to bring on. What they're really talking about is another whole team, another legion of flappers, whose job is to go around and make sure that you're not exhaling too much and damaging the planet. And that's getting pretty close to Swift's flappers right there, making sure that we're not breathing incorrectly and we're not doing anything wrong. And our nation, like Laputa, is a land of endless busyment that produces nothing of any real value at all. Our government, for going back 20, 30 years, in order to conceal our loss of manufacturing and the loss of being able to make anything, endlessly legislates new regulatory requirements that necessitate hiring people to fill out all the government forms, to go to the government and get put in a warehouse, most of which will never be looked at ever again. And it is reaching ridiculous proportions. And it's the reason our economy is dying, because nobody can make anything in the United States at a price that competes with the rest of the world. If you go to another country and they make a hammer, there's a guy that makes the wood stick, there's the guy that makes the head, guy that slaps them together and it goes to the store. Here in the United States, you have the three who are making the hammer, and you've got inspectors, and you've got lawyers, and you've got accountants doing all the paperwork, and you've got the PERT charts and the Gantt charts and all this other created out of nothing overhead, designed so that instead of having a hammer that is the livelihood for three craftspeople, you have a hammer that is the livelihood for three craftspeople and 20 to 30 minor functionaries who are busy flapping their way through life. And, you know, I'm looking at the complexities of the tax code. I'm looking at all these stickers stuck all over everything that we buy and realizing that is where our nation has gone. We have one person making a product, and we have 9 or 10 that are inspecting it and stamping it and sticking things on it and making sure that it complies with a bunch of arbitrary nonsense, including its green impact right now. And you need to remember there's nothing new about this, because the Nazis did the same thing. They busied their entire people all over the place with papers and stickers and forms and all the rest. Your papers, please. Your papers are not in order. Yeah? Where do you think that stereotype comes from? It wasn't just made up out of thin air. It was based on the reality that Hitler kept his people distracted from what the government was doing by just giving them so much paperwork to work their way through on a daily basis. They didn't have any time to pay attention to what the government was doing. What's that line out of Shakespeare, Henry the Fourth? You know, keep busy giddy minds as a distraction. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on here. And talk about flappers. Let's talk about this census that they're getting ready to do. We're already hearing that the Census Bureau has wasted millions of dollars on the preparation for this 2010 headcount. They're having to throw out a lot of stuff and start all over again. There's a bunch of flappers. They're going to come out here. The constitutional census is they count the number of people. That is it. But in order to justify the creation of jobs for thousands and thousands more flappers, now they're going to be coming in and asking some very personal questions. How many guns do you have? You know, do you do drugs? How often do you beat up your wife? Have you abused your dog? And it's none of their business. And probably they're going to take the information, dump it in a computer someplace, and it's going to be ignored. But it justifies job creation, which in an election year is something the government wants to claim they're being able to do. So we may have the highest per capita instance of flappers this side of Laputa. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I was watching on the feed during the commercial there. Everybody is all getting excited. We got this number two Taliban guy, even though the White House won't confirm it. Will he lead us to Osama bin Laden? If he does, take a shovel, or probably actually a backhoe is what you're going to need, because he's been dead for a while there. And the good news is he's been dead long enough. He isn't going to be stinky when you dig him up here. All right. We're going to get to the phones, and we've got Joe in Wisconsin. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's in your mind? What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Last Friday, I listened to an interview with Bruce Levine. He is a psychologist who said some pretty interesting things, and when I started making notes, something interesting popped out. All systems of control are there through abusing someone. Nothing that controls you is abusing you. So what that does is it leads to learned helplessness. You frequently talk about the people in Palestine. They are abused day after day, and they get this learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
People in that state aren't going to put up much of a fight because they say, oh, why should I bother? Start applying that to things in this country, though.
Yeah, you know, the people, you're absolutely right.
The people starting the wars. Imagine, if you will, the only reason why we're in Afghanistan was just to have the government thumb its nose at us and say, meh, what are you going to do about it? We started a war. You try and stop it. And I think for everybody who keeps saying, why do they in your face this stuff? Why do they say, oh, yeah, we're the bad guy. You know, we did it. What are you going to do about it? They do it on purpose to abuse you so that
mm-hmm.
you get this learned helplessness. Well, I'll just vote Republican. Yeah, you're still going to get abused. Well, I'll
mm-hmm.
vote Democrat. Yeah, you're still mm-hmm. abused.
Yeah,
well,
we did that last
party.
Year.
Abused.
Yeah.
So,
but you know something? You know something? There's a problem with that. You can't rely on that permanently. That was
no.
Ceausescu's mistake.
But I still think that the Federal Reserve abuses you with interest rates and unpayable debt, and then the Internal Revenue Service abuses, you know, further enforces it. And,
well, I think in the case of those latter two institutions, that's just rampant greed. I think the abuse and learned helplessness is to keep us from fighting back while we're being looted and pillaged.
I think anything that abuses you, I think that's why the system encourages graft and corruption in, like, police force, because when you get that learned helplessness, it applies to all things. You just want to sit home, curl up in a ball, and say, what good am I going to do? And the more people they can get like that without
mm-hmm.
thinking, you know, I really need to get up off my butt and do something, the
mm-hmm.
more people that they have feeling helpless, the better they like it. And I think that's why we're getting all this in your face. I mean,
yeah, but the problem with that is they're going from a psychological model that goes back to the middle of the last century, when all media was one way, when people were on the receiving end of TV and radio, and the message was, we're going to tell you whatever lies we want, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now it's a different world. We are able to make the communication flow two-way, or not even just two-way, but thousand-way among ourselves. And this was the same thing that brought the USSR down. And I think the bottom line is, as long as the U.S. government continues to play the game by the rules that worked at the height of the Cold War, ultimately they are doomed.
Well, it comes down to a system of control that no matter what it is that's abusing
mm-hmm.
you, you get
mm-hmm.
this helpless feeling. And I think the ones that are getting scared now are, hey, they're not buying it anymore. So
that's
they have
exactly
to
right.
get everybody abusing something and abusing each other. And that's why you have all the, pick a vice, you know, people, it's not drug abuse. You don't abuse the drugs. They abuse you.
That's absolutely
so
right.
So you get that helplessness feeling. So
yeah.
what everybody needs to do, you and I can't do this for anybody. You can't give people their freedom. They have to stand up and take it for themselves.
Absolutely correct.
I'm sorry to say this, in Palestine, I can't do it for them. You can't do that for them. They have to somehow find a voice and stand up for themselves, just like we do.
Can I make a comment here? Can I make a comment here? And this goes back to what I said about the dynamics of the information flow changing. Because the way, and I talked about this, I think, on Saturday's show, the way that our government maintains control over the society is with a constant state of fear, something we're supposed to be afraid of. Killer bees, Y2K, whatever, you know, is going, imminent doom and destruction, the asteroids coming down and crashing into our heads. Save me from that. But the whole climate gate collapse, the whole collapse of human-caused global warming and climate gate, the reason they're fighting that so hard to try and reassert that and resell it is because the American people and the people of the world are understanding it was a manufactured fear. It's no different than the Wizard of Oz when he took a papier-mâché head and set it on fire to scare Dorothy into going off and killing the Wicked Witch of the West. It is rule by deception, rule by hoax, and I think the American people, one thing that will get them angry is the idea that they have been made complete fools of by the government for the last 50 years.
Well, once people stop feeling useless and helpless, and they stop saying, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. If your parking is way out of line, go down and say, look, we're not going to pay these stupid fees anymore, and find something around it. I mean, just make it known that you're not going to put up with system as is.
We're starting to see that. We're hearing about lots of people that are not going to answer the census questions beyond the constitutionally required. There are this many people living in this building. And that's all the census really is authorized to find out in order to draw the legislative borders here. We are seeing, you know, obviously from the flood of commercials on TV from all these tax resolution services, there's a huge non-compliance problem there. We're building momentum toward a national strike on April 15th. We're finding all these non-violent expressions of discontent with the government. And the bottom line is the American people are breaking free from their lethargy. They're breaking free from that learned helplessness, because if there's one thing blogs like this one have shown, we are not helpless anymore. 16 years ago, when my career was destroyed because I was trying to point out that it looked like Vincent Foster had been murdered inside the White House and his body dumped and made to look like a suicide. I mean, 20 years before then, wouldn't have been anything to respond to that. You know, but my career was wrecked, so I started this website. I have been fighting back ever since, and I'm sure at this point, the people who ruined my career in Hollywood 16 years ago are probably thinking, you know, we should have left him alone, or we should have found a more gentle way of handling the situation. You know, because what worked back in the days of Gene Seberg obviously doesn't work anymore. There was a court case today, an excellent one, in which a judge ruled that a student complaining about a teacher on Facebook is protected free speech under the First Amendment. So people can fight back when they're being abused. These petty exercises of authority in the school and in business places, you know, they can't get away with it anymore, because it does go. This director who got booted off the airplane went on Twitter, and look what happened. The airline is practically groveling in front of him. It's a whole new world, and every one of these people who stands up, whether it's Charlie Sheen or Rosie O'Donnell, and they stand up there and they say the government is wrong about X, Y, and Z, and they get heard, it is another reminder, you are not helpless anymore. If you're not standing up and doing something, it is your choice. And, you know, you need to start examining that.
The last note I have is that the government will never stop abusing you, because you might slip free of their control. As soon as they stop their abuse, you will stop feeling helpless. They must, like you said, continue that fear-mongering.
That's exactly right.
Helplessness. And as soon as that's why we still have the wars.
Well, they can feel that the control is slipping. That's why France just passed that draconian internet censorship. You know, it's being sold on child pornography. But we all know they're going to start blocking the political websites. And of course, as soon as they do, the more expert people there in France will find ways around the blockage, because it hasn't worked. They weren't able to get it to work in China. And, you know, the French are going to break free. It's a silicon curtain, but it can be knocked down. Thank you for the call. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Fritz in Missouri after these words.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right to the phones. Fritz in Missouri. Aloha, Fritz. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Am I coming in all right? I'm on Skype.
You're doing just fine.
The audio is good. Well, one of my pet peeves is all these people with their $100 cell phones, and they sound terrible. But listen, I don't want to take too much time. I want to go on record with a case of domestic terrorism here in Missouri committed by the government, the feds. I'm relaying to you a story I just saw on the St. Louis Fox News affiliate. The sheriff in a couple counties over here from where I live in St. Francis County, Missouri, arrested a dozen immigrants this morning, and they were apparently involved in some construction on a motel or a little hotel or something down there in St. Francis County. And he called the INS, and they told him to let them all go, that they were too busy with their terrorism, that they had other priorities, and they couldn't, you know, drive down from St. Louis 60 minutes, 75 minutes, and interview these guys and to just let them go. And the sheriff was looking pretty frustrated on the news tonight. His name's Sheriff Bullock, I believe, or Blaylock Bullock. And I hope anybody who's in Missouri who can hear this will call the sheriff and maybe hip him to Sheriff Mack. And I think the lesson here, one of the lessons here, is that the sheriff of St. Francis County is not obligated to enforce any federal laws based on
That's a very good message. But, you know, it really, in a very roundabout way, it gets back to this issue of odious debt. In that, you know, we're seeing all this money that is spent on the wars and all the money that is spent on controlling and oppressing the American people. What our previous caller said, all of this abuse costs money to abuse 300 million people. And yet the things that we are paying our taxes for aren't getting done. The flood control is allowed to rot. The roads are full of holes. The bridges are collapsing. Our food inspection is so bad. You know, Russia is refusing our food exports now for not meeting their safety requirements. The Russian republics have better food quality and food safety than the United States of America. But yet we've got money to build all kinds of nuclear bombs, and we've got money to give Israel, and we've got money to go all over the Middle East and just bomb the crap out of the brown people. And it's just
economic terrorism, and it's also dereliction of duty. And it's also perjury of oath. These men took an oath to enforce the law.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
It's,
you know,
all
most
of that stuff.
Most people don't understand when you swear an oath, including that one that Obama did on the steps of the Capitol building, that is the same as testifying under oath in a court of law. If you violate that oath, you are open to a charge of perjury. You can go to jail.
Absolutely. And when I run for president, that's going to be the first thing I do, is I'm going to lobby for a law that says any public official who breaks the law is due a double penalty, because they violated the oath and they violated the law. But I have to modify that statement a little bit. It's not the president's business to initiate legislation. It's the
very good. I was about to call you on that.
You know, they always
talk
about the president wants to do this law and he wants to do that law. That's not the president's job. That's the legislature's job.
Well, there's no question that a president can go up to the Congress and say, okay, guys, get together. I got this idea, and it's really good, and you should vote for it. And that is a legitimate part of the political process. But when you run for president, I will be your vice president, because I understand the vice president's house gets a really cool telescope with it, and I'll make sure you don't make that mistake again, okay?
Well, unfortunately, I won't be running because I'm ineligible at this point in my life because of a little...
Oh.
When I was 20, you know. But
I don't want to hear it. We're on radio.
Yeah,
we don't need.
And I don't want to tell
right.
you, but you know, when this president runs to the legislature and says, "I have this idea," is he acting as the head of his party, or is he acting as the head of the country at that point?
Well, he should be acting as the head of the country. We understand it's not always that way. Okay,
yeah.
France, I gotta let you go. All right, there we go. Well, darn, I just missed my chance to be vice president. How about that? All right, moving right along here. You know, we are seeing this incredible rush to war with Iran. I mean, they're not even trying to pretend that they think they've convinced us that Iran is any kind of a threat with its medical isotopes and its power stations. Everybody's talking about Iran's nuclear threat, Iran's nuclear threat. There is no nuclear threat from Iran. Iran has not invaded anybody in 200 years. Iran is building power stations and medical isotopes, both of which it's allowed to do under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. In fact, under Article 4, the U.S. government is supposed to be in there helping them out. Okay, so there is no... And even if Iran had a nuclear weapon, they're not going to attack the United States because we are still the largest nuclear arsenal on Earth and the only nation psychotic enough to have actually used them on the civilians of another country. Nobody is going to mess with us. We're just invading Iran because... Because of the oil fields, because Israel says either you go invade Iran or we're going to tell everybody who really did 9/11. I don't know what it is, but that's the situation there. We're hearing from Chief of Staff to Netanyahu, an attack on Iran could come in weeks. We're starting to get the idea that Israel may go ahead and attack Iran without consulting with the United States. And then once the bullets are flying, Israel's going to say, help us, help us. And we've got all these politicians in Congress who are owned by AIPAC, and they're going to stand up and say, we must stand with our allies in the Middle East, and your children have to go catch the bullets, and so forth and so on. The U.S. Army chief is saying the Iran attack option is on the table. I mean, we've been down this road before. Same thing leading up to Iraq. They just ramp up the rhetoric and scream, we're going to attack, we're going to attack, we're going to attack, and then they just go ahead and do it. And as the two callers ago saying, they're basically saying, you can't stop us anyway. You might as well just get used to the fact that we're going to go start World War III, and you're going to have to pay for it. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show, at the top of the show here, in the fourth act of Henry IV, the king, Henry IV, on his deathbed, gives his son and heir the ancient advice dear to the hearts of tyrants in trouble at home. I had a purpose now to lead our many to the Holy Land, lest rest and lying still might make them look too near unto my state. Therefore, my Harry, be it thy course to busy giddy minds with foreign quarrels, that action hence borne out may waste the memory of the former days. In other words, keep starting wars in other countries, and people won't notice how crappy things are at home. Unfortunately, in the age of the Internet, when the TV networks no longer control the flow of information in the society, we're going to continue to point out the fact that all these wars being started in these foreign countries are manufactured distractions to try and trick you into ignoring the fact that our nation's economy is an absolute mess. It's on the verge of collapse, and it's all because of the government and the Federal Reserve. The doom of this nation was made in 1913, when the Federal Reserve was enacted into law, and we were told the 16th Amendment was ratified, although there's some doubt on that last one. We've lasted almost 100 years under the yoke of servitude to these private bankers. And we understand that the endless succession of wars this country has been in is intended to distract us from the economic slavery we find ourselves in right now. So, that's what's going on. They're pushing with Iran. Hillary's over there. Apparently, Hillary's pushing so hard. It's actually breaking down diplomacy. There was an incident, apparently, where Hillary was meeting with some high officials in Turkey, and a couple of the next echelon down actually got into a fist fight in the room there. That was being reported here. Meanwhile, the Associated Press is continuing to beat the war drums over the medical isotopes. The Associated Press is hoping that you, the American people, are so stupid and uneducated that you don't understand that medical isotopes can't be used to make bombs. They can't be used to make nuclear weapons. And by the way, this whole thing about the so-called dirty bomb, it sounds terrible in the media. But the reality is that for an explosion to disperse radioactive material, it's not going to reach that far. And if you disperse it far enough, the level of radiation drops to the point where it's harmless. Anyway, we're going to take a break for news and commercials. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the push for war in Iran and an interesting development coming up out of Saudi Arabia and a call for a nuclear-free Mideast, including Israel. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Aloha.
Michael Rivero, What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here for hour number two. We're talking about the very obvious attempt to sell us a new war in Iran. I think the reason they're trying to make it sound like after 8 years, finally some progress is being made in Afghanistan is to sort of sugarcoat the fact that we're going to get sucked into another war in Iran. And I'm wondering, how many countries do we have to invade before it qualifies as a world war? Nobody's come up with an answer for that yet. Now, last summer in Iran, there was an attempted coup d'etat. And we have documented that much of the funding for this came from the Bush administration, over $100 million into the opposition groups. And then when the coup d'etat began to stumble, the Obama administration sent in another, it was either $20 or $40 million, I forget the exact number here. One of the horrible things that happened during that, in order to generate the bloody shirt that those who want to overthrow elected governments have to have, there was a young lady who was shot and killed, apparently at random in the street. There were reasons to suspect that it was done by the coup plotters, but it was blamed on Ahmadinejad's people. In any event, just now they're announcing that the videographer who shot the video is getting a big journalism prize. And, of course, the timing is obvious. It's just another excuse to wave bad Iranians at everybody on the TV. And that's really all it is. It's just more of the propaganda. More of the propaganda. Now, interestingly enough, the Saudi foreign minister issued a statement today that he absolutely agrees with the U.S. policy of a Middle East free of nuclear weapons. We would all like a world free of nuclear weapons. They're bad things. One nuclear weapon can wreck your whole day. But, he said, and this is, of course, going to be the sticking point, and you are not going to hear this on the TV networks, he said that efforts to rid the Middle East of nuclear weapons have to include Israel, which is absolutely correct. You cannot have one country that maintains a covert nuclear arsenal at the same time you're telling everybody else you must surrender your nuclear weapons. That is utter nonsense. And remember, the whole justification for the United States government spending trillions and trillions of your parents' dollars, back when a trillion was really a lot of money, was that we had to keep parity with the Soviet Union. It was called mutually assured destruction, and that was supposed to be the path to peace. If we have nuclear bombs, and they have nuclear bombs, then neither side will use them. Well, that has to apply to the Middle East. If Israel is going to have nuclear bombs, then all the countries around it have to have nuclear bombs in order to deter aggression. If it works for the U.S. and USSR, it has to work for Israel and all those other nations. If you want the Middle East nations to surrender their nuclear weapons, to surrender that deterrent capability, then Israel has to be included on that list. Because if Israel has nuclear weapons and all these other countries don't, then Israel feels free to project power to constantly invade other countries, as they have been doing. Lebanon, Syria, Gaza, Lebanon again, probably in the very near future. They can attack anybody they want and, you know, without the fear of a counterattack, because they'll just go ahead and nuke them. And that's not the way to peace. That's the path to tyranny. So I absolutely think that, you know, that we should see you know, about Israel giving up their nuclear weapons, because they won't sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Under the UN resolutions, they're not allowed to have nuclear weapons unless they sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and allow IAEA inspections. The United States is not allowed to give any kind of financial aid to Israel since 1976, as long as Israel has nuclear weapons and does not sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and allow inspections by the IAEA. Now, speaking of inspections, Jordan is suing Israel because, as we've mentioned before several times on this show, there's a lot of leakage coming out of the reactor at Dimona. A lot of radioactive gas gets released, like happened at Three Mile Island, and there's a lot of radioactivity seeping into the local water table. Now, Israel's been trying to claim that this is just from natural uranium in the area that's contaminating the water table, but at this point, the amount of radiation that has seeped into the deserts around Dimona is too high to explain with natural occurring minerals. So Jordan is bringing suit against Israel, and as part of that suit, I'm sure there's going to be a discovery from the international court saying we need to take a look around Dimona. And of course, they're going to look at that sub-basement under Institute Number 2, you know, the one with the elevators behind the fake wall in the cafeteria. Now, Alex Jones is taking a point of view that Barack Obama, who really doesn't want another war, because our nation is already, we're on the brink of total collapse with all the wars that are being fought. Remember how the USSR collapsed? They spent themselves broke in Afghanistan. We're doing exactly the same thing. Plus we've got Iraq, plus we've got Somalia, plus we've got Pakistan, plus we've got, you know, all over the place. And Obama has been sort of wanting to, like, not do the Iran thing in the immediate future. And Israel's been pushing on him, and now Israel's saying they may just go ahead, and we don't care what the United States says. Alex is saying that Barack Obama is being blackmailed into attacking Iran. Alex is saying that there might even be a false flag assassination attempt on President Obama that will fail, with a trail of evidence that points to Iran in order to whip up a new war fever against Iran. Now, this is not without precedent, because when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, the evidence trail was set up to point to Cuba. They had a phony Oswald who'd gone to the Russian embassy down in Mexico City. They had all of this paper trail. The reason that Oswald was planted with the Mannlicher Carcano rifle, the world's worst shoulder weapon, absolutely the wrong gun that you would want to shoot a target at that you needed to hit. But it was the gun that was being imported by the shipload into Cuba to give to the Cuban people in case there was going to be a second Bay of Pigs invasion. Castro, we're told what a terrible dictator he was. Castro was buying guns for his citizens. Everybody got a gun. And there were all these very cheap Italian-made Mannlicher Carcanos. That's the reason for the gun here. Now, Vice President Lyndon Johnson had been privy to the deal that John F. Kennedy had made with the Soviet Union to get the missiles out of Cuba following the debacle of the Bay of Pigs. And Lyndon Johnson knew that a new invasion of Cuba would prompt an immediate nuclear attack by the Soviet Union, because that had been the deal. We'll pull the missiles out as long as you understand. You go back into Cuba, we push the button. No hesitation. That was the deal. Kennedy said, okay, we're going to keep our hands off Cuba. So LBJ was the one who basically changed the evidence trail. It was a fake evidence trail anyway, pointing to Cuba, and changed it so that it stopped with the patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald. And he became the crazed lone nut assassin of myth and legend. So these things have been done before. You kill somebody. World War I, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, and the evidence trail that pointed off, you know, to get all those nations fighting and kick off World War I. These things happen. Somebody gets assassinated, the finger of blame gets pointed somewhere else other than the actual perpetrators. So, with that in mind, I did a little digging, and you remember during the primary season, leading up to the election of Barack Obama as president, and there was the convention in Colorado where the U.S. attorney had basically, remember these three white supremacist meth heads who were caught apparently planning to assassinate Barack Obama at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. And then the U.S. attorney, Troy Eade, just let him go. And at the time we said, you know, I think these were the patsies for an actual hit. And now I'm beginning to wonder, you know, yeah, you get three guys plotting to assassinate a presidential candidate and you just let him go. That doesn't pass the smell test to me. It absolutely does not pass the smell test. All right, we're at the end of the segment. We're going to take another break here for commercials. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the news of the economy. It is not looking very good at all, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I was watching the corporate media feed during the commercial, and there's a banner headline that anti-incumbent fever is at an all-time high. This must be a Pulitzer Prize-winning story, study in foregone conclusions here. I mean, we all know that the American people are fed up with this government. A recent poll showed two-thirds of Americans saying that they're actually angry with the federal government. We ran a poll at What Really Happened earlier today and said, if the federal government were to collapse, my life would be, and the choices were better, worse, and 89% of the respondents said their lives would be better if the federal government went away. And the rest, I guess, are collecting a federal government paycheck. Now, Bloomberg is reporting that the former chief global strategist for Morgan Stanley is telling people to prepare for the worst. That it's not over, that there's a big, horrendous crash coming. There's a collapse. The word he used was collapse. This is not a conspiracy theorist. It's not a blogger over at whatreallyhappened.com. This is Barton Biggs, Morgan Stanley's former chief global strategist. This was the guy who, when he worked for Morgan Stanley, was directing all of their policies, purchases, buy, sell, whatever, around the globe. This is a guy who knows what he's doing. And he's basically saying head for the hills. Now, it's true that, you know, Sir Isaac Newton, you've heard of Newton's law, one fig to a cookie. I mean the other one, where for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And we have seen over the last couple of weeks this very intense bashing of imported cars. It started with Toyota, moved to Nissan, briefly even hit Volkswagen. And it all came down to this gas pedal that had a little bit of a sticking problem. And there was a lot of finger-pointing going on, and it turned out the gas pedal in question was a unit actually made here in the United States. It's not from Japan. It's not an imported part. It's made here in the U.S. of A. But Toyota has been just having to endure a tremendous amount of abuse, and their sales are dropping. And a lot of people thought that this kind of was beginning to smell like when NBC rigged the side-mounted gas tanks on a truck with explosives to blow them up in order to harm that truck's reputation and steer business to somebody that the producer was chummy with in a competing auto company. And a lot of people were saying, well, this, you know, the automakers, the American automakers, after all the tax money that they absorbed, and they still are on the verge of collapse, that this might have been a desperation ploy by the U.S. government to exploit a small part recall, because we get recalls all the time and they don't make headline news, but to exploit this part recall to initiate a trade war with Japan, to basically take trade away from Toyota and Nissan and try and force American consumers to go back and buy American cars, which very clearly at this point they don't want. Well, Toyota responded today. They're closing, or they're at least putting on temporary shutdown, two United States auto factories. And so all of those workers in Texas and Kentucky get to go home now because of this media slamming of Toyota. So, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. When you finally convince these foreign automakers to come into the country and set up auto factories that are very efficient and they're putting out product that sells and they're giving jobs to Americans, you don't slap them around. So whoever thought this was a really good idea, you blew it. All these Americans are now out of work, joining the record high unemployment, which according to the U.S. government is not going to improve any time before 2013. I got an email from somebody living on the East Coast, and the sum and substance of it, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing rather loosely here, and they said, don't believe the 9% unemployment figures you're hearing for the region. It's 30%. One out of every three people cannot find a job. They're going hungry. They're losing their homes. It's much, much worse than the TV news is telling you. Credit card interest rates have hit a 12-year high. Those people who were able to hang on to their credit cards, and frankly, my advice to you is pay them off and shred them. If you've got one of those shredders that'll handle CDs, CD-ROMs, it'll handle a credit card. You don't need them anymore. You know, definitely, you need to pay them off. And the credit card interest rates have hit a 12-year high, which means the credit card companies are punishing the people who stayed current on their payments to make up for the ones who didn't. And this seems counterintuitive, that if you have customers who are making their payments, you know, you treat them like gold. Otherwise, you drive them away. But our financial system is in a very, very predatory mode right now. All they're thinking about is, got to get that bottom line back to black. Somehow, anyhow, we don't care who we have to gouge for it. Now, interestingly enough, there's been a couple of developments up in Iceland. As you know, Iceland has gone through what we hope for them is the worst of the financial hardship. Their three largest banks were nationalized. And then the government collapsed. The people just said, to heck with this. You got us into this mess. We're kicking you out. May happen in Greece very soon as well. Probably is going to happen in this country sooner or later, eventually. So they went through some really hard times. Now their legislature, their parliament, actually, the Icelandic parliament, they're working on a resolution that would turn Iceland into the intellectual cyber equivalent of a Swiss banking fraternity. In other words, it is an absolute journalism whistleblower haven. They're going to set up all these ISPs and all these computers. They're going to put in all this additional bandwidth. So they're going to have computer servers up there where you can have whatever you want on them. What really happened? I'm almost sorry that we moved to our new server now. We should have waited and gone to an Icelandic server. But the idea being that they will not allow any censorship, and they will not allow foreign governments to come in and say that you must block or shut down anything. They will offer full whistleblower protection. I think it's a very courageous and brilliant move, because Iceland doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of anything else to offer now that the U.S. has abandoned it as a military base. So by setting themselves up as an intellectual cyber property haven, they're going to get a lot of people whose own governments are abusing them for daring to speak truth to power. They're all going to be setting up there on Iceland. I think it's a very, very brave thing for them to be doing. And once they're up and running, I'm definitely going to be looking at moving the center of our What Really Happened operation up there. Now, in a stark contrast to that, Nicolas Sarkozy has managed to browbeat the French legislature into passing a bill for internet censorship. They're going to pass their own version of the internet filtering system. It was sold on the idea that they're going to prevent child pornography and all these other evil things. But we know, we've seen it before. You get censorship because it's going to protect the children, and the next thing they're censoring is political free speech. So France has fallen behind the Silicon Curtain. We're going to take a break for some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just track yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm watching the network feed, and they're talking about if the U.S. is losing influence in Iraq. I don't know that we ever had all that much influence other than go there or I'll shoot this long, pointy, exploding thing at you. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Clayton, Texas. Aloha, Clayton. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Aloha, Mike. Hey, I just wanted to share something with you real quick. Talking about these local municipalities getting into trouble. I just got something today in the mail from an attorney, and I was like, oh, my God, what's this? Opened it up. And it is a letter from the city of Fort Worth here in Texas trying to collect $20 from a parking ticket from 1999 that I got for parking the wrong way on the street and a car that they're saying, I mean, I sold it back in 2002. And the letters were like, if you could please, you know, pay this, that would be really great. We may come boot your car. And I'm like, oh, God, not the one that I sold 8 years ago. Oh, no. I mean, I wrote him this letter back. I said, y'all got to be serious. I mean, joking. I cannot believe it. So, yeah, they're now paying attorneys to go out after $20 parking fines that are over 11 years old. So,
If I were you, I'd pay the $20. But I got to tell you, scan that letter and email it to me because I want to put that up. Blur your name out of it and everything. But I want to put it up there, as a sign of, yes, the cities are that desperate. They're going back anything that they can. Library fines. You know, littering fines, anything that they can find, anything that's anywhere in the computer system, they're sending out letters. Now, they're really not going to come down and kick down your door for $20. What they may do is go to court and assess late fees and penalties and whatever, but they're just trying to find any way that they can justify looting and pillaging from the people. Here is the problem, and this goes back to that email I got from somebody on the East Coast. The U.S. government is saying we have 9% unemployment. Okay, and all the states and all the cities are saying, okay, 9% unemployment, and they start calculating, you know, their share of the tax revenues with 9% unemployment. But the government is lying. It's really 30%. And we're seeing all these headlines all over the place where all the states and all these large cities and all these municipalities, their tax collections are coming in way, way below what they were predicting based on the official government figure. So now they're coming up short. You know, Utah's going to cancel the fourth year of high school. We're down to 4-day school weeks here in Hawaii. Nobody's cutting salaries at the legislature or the governor's offices yet, but they're letting teachers go. They're shutting down schools. Everything that we pay taxes for is going away, and they're looking for anything they can do to pillage the people. Here in Hawaii, we've got a major crime problem because the cops are all down on the freeway writing speeding tickets. In fact, there was a story that we ran at the website where the California Highway Patrol are now starting to do a lot more of these stop and search roadblocks looking for drunk drivers, not because there's a drunk driving problem in California, but because if they find a driver who doesn't have all the correct documentation, they seize the car and sell it. If you don't have your driver's license, they'll take your car. If you don't have the insurance, they'll take the car. If you don't have a current safety and smog check, they will confiscate the car under the civil forfeiture laws, and then they will sell it. And apparently it's become this huge, huge moneymaker for the police departments. And we're seeing this all across the country. They're not interested in law enforcement anymore. It's like that guy who called in and said the sheriff had arrested all these illegal aliens, and the INS said, we can't deal with it, let them go.
Yep, yep. I think it's time to start burying it and putting it out back because from what I couldn't believe it when I got it, and it just seems like more and more. That's what these municipalities are looking for, is anything and everything they can get their hands on. So,
absolutely.
Keep up the good job, and enjoy listening to you.
Thank you very much, and please scan and send in that letter. I want to put that up.
I'll be looking for it. I'll send it to the WRH account.
I want to see that one. All right, thanks an awful lot. Okay, but yeah, they're getting desperate, and you need to understand something. This idea that we live with a benevolent government, Government exists to harvest money from you. And the more desperate they get, the crazier and wackier the things that they're going to do to take money from you. You know, they're already charging fees to use the parks, which you own. They're selling off critical infrastructure that your taxes paid to build. They're selling them to corporations, and then the corporation's going to turn around and charge you a rent to use the facilities that your taxes already paid for. I'm not sure government really has the legal right to take a highway that your taxes bought and sell it to a private corporation so that that corporation can now charge you fees to use the road that your taxes built. They're doing it anyway, but I'm not sure. I know it's not morally correct. I'm not even sure it's legal. All right, getting back to the situation about the Silicon Curtain, which is falling across France and is soon to fall across other places. You know, New Zealand tried it. There was a huge backlash. They had to stop that. There is a growing backlash in Australia against Rudd's Silicon Curtain, so that may stutter and fall. Certainly the Silicon Curtain that fell across China has got holes in it, and so forth and so on. Now, Google, as you know, they've sort of become the internet version of Microsoft. They are everywhere. They own everything. They're just growing by leaps and bounds, and, you know, it is a Google world here. And they have online video sales for DVDs, just like another Amazon or any of these other places that are out there. And apparently Google is banning Alex Jones DVDs. They attempted to set up an online store at Google to sort of bolster and expand from the one that's at PrisonPlanet.tv. And they were, you know, they kept like shrinking down the number of DVDs, trying to figure out just which one was it that was offensive. And they finally got down to just a single DVD, and Google still would not accept it for the store, and basically came back and said that the reason they were banning the sale of the DVDs is it represented hostility toward a protected group. Now, of course, these DVDs are critical of the U.S. government and of Barack Obama, and some of the older ones are critical of George Bush. But apparently, according to Google, the U.S. government is now a protected group. You are not allowed to say bad things about them, or Google will ban the sale of your DVDs. So Google is the champion of the Silicon Curtain, and we need to be aware of that when we look at whatever is presented to us through the Google search engines, through the Google stores, through anything. You know, Google has joined the dark side. Now, speaking of Iceland and climate and so forth, there is yet another embarrassment for the IPCC. This one's called Scandinavia Gate. There's a huge list of these growing, by the way. And apparently it turns out that in their last report on the growing threat of global warming, the same one that said half of the Netherlands was underwater when it's only 26%, they showed a full gloss-colored graph of temperatures produced by a public relations agency, as it turns out, showing the growing temperatures, increasing temperatures and warming in Scandinavia, which when compared with the actual raw data, doesn't line up at all. It's not even in the same zip code. Somebody just said, we need to show warming in Scandinavia. Okay, here you go. There it is. Publish that thing. So yet again, another embarrassment. It's not science, it's propaganda. Meanwhile, we're getting word that the record cold is actually starting to kill off Florida's coral reefs. And, you know, this is a serious situation because the reefs form the foundation for the ecosystem. A lot of fishing comes out of there, a lot of recreation, a lot of tourism. When a reef dies, it is a serious, serious matter. I remember many, many, many years ago when I went to Barbados and those reefs were dying from pollution. And it was very, very depressing. And then in contrast, when I had a chance to go down to Fiji and those reefs, that is a living ecosystem. Just the difference between them is amazing. So the cold is killing Florida's coral reefs, and the fact that the reefs are still there to this present time has to show us it's been warmer in the past, not colder. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Can we talk? Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I'm watching the news here. They're talking about the glorious victory. We are winning in Afghanistan. And they're showing the American troops, and they're showing a lot of wreckage and a lot of destruction, a lot of fire. And a lot of local Afghanis speaking Afghani, and the subtitles are attempting to convince us that they're saying, thank you for invading my country. But the one thing I notice is that I don't seem to see a lot of captives or even bodies. In fact, the place looks like a ghost town. And 2 days ago I was saying, you know, a tactic the Taliban used to use against the Soviet Union was they'd say, you know, we got a big base here, and they'd surround it with mines and booby traps, and the Soviets would attack it. They'd have sniper fire to convince them they're fighting through the major resistance, and the Soviets would get there, and they'd find the place empty. And they'd declare victory and go home, and the Taliban would come back, and it would start all over again. They basically ran the Soviet Union ground forces around in a circle until they wore them out. And I think that's what's happening here, and that may be why they've uncorked this guy, supposedly the number two of Taliban, in order to try and generate some positive headlines. The problem is, as Samuel Johnson said, truth is the first casualty of any war, and our government has been lying so much, I don't think they know how to tell the truth anymore. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Stoney in Minnesota. Aloha, Stoney. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I have my power bill, and of course, everybody has power bills, but my power bill seems to have increased. Mm-hmm. And of course, people that I have spoke to in the past couple days are saying the same thing. And I just noticed a little thing. I wanted to read this to you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just a paragraph, and then, you know what, you can comment on it, and I'll just hang up. It says, Minnesota Power has asked the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission for permission to increase its electric rates by approximately $81 million annually, or about 18.9% overall, depending on customer rate class and customer usage. The actual percent of any final increase, any final increase that may be approved will vary. While the MPUC considers Minnesota Power's request, we are allowed to collect an interim rate increase of $48.5 million or 11.34% over current rates. I just want to know, what do you think about that? And I'm just going to let you answer that and go global.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, we saw the same thing on our bill out here in Hawaii, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, for years they've been telling you, you know, use less water, use less electricity. And so, you know, we get the CFCs, and we turn off things, and we have green switches, and we have all this other stuff around here. And then the electric company goes to the utility board and says, those people are using less electricity, and we can't meet our bills anymore, and we need a rate increase. And so what it is, it's part of this general mechanism of making you all pay more for less. That's what the government, any government in history, their goal is to get the maximum amount of money and work out of the population for the least amount of actual upkeep. And one of the very cruel situations we've had when they talk about, you know, use less water, be very careful, don't waste it, don't waste electricity and everything. And so we all conserve and we all take these active steps to reduce our usage, and then the utilities turn around and say, they're using less, we've got to raise our rates so that we don't lose money. And the governments will basically go along with it, because if the rates go down, if your electric bill and water bill goes down, so too do the taxes on it. And so I have no doubt that the Utility Commission is going to approve the rate increase, because they want the bills to go way up, because they're collecting taxes on all that money. It's like the price of goods at the store. You know, the politicians, especially in the election year, they'll get up and say, oh, gee, we're really sorry, you know, that that you're having a hard time making ends meet. But the reality is, you know, the higher the price of goods at the store, the more money the store is making, the more they pay in taxes, the higher the sales tax goes. Government has a vested interest in seeing the prices you pay for everything go up and coming up with the money to meet those rising costs. Well, that's your problem. That's your role in society. It's up to you to figure out how to make that money, even when there's no money out there to be made, no jobs out there. All right. We were talking about the record cold killing Florida's coral reefs. The coral reefs in the Florida Keys, if they are exposed to water temperatures below 59 degrees Fahrenheit for an extended period of time, the corals begin to die. That's what's happening right now. Apparently, the Florida manatees are also succumbing to the cold. Now, the fact that we've had manatees up until the present day, the fact that we've had corals up until the present day, has to tell you that this kind of cold is a new thing. The temperatures are trending downward. Now, a lot of the diehard cultists are still out there trying to say, well, you global warming deniers, you're flat earth people, and you're unpatriotic, and you're playing Russian roulette with the planet Earth, and you're just icky poo people we don't want to hang out with. And what we're seeing them start to do, I mean, some of the people are recognizing they've blown this one. They've blown this one. And the worst thing is, everybody sees it. It's like, have you ever been to a magic show? I paid for my college education doing stage magic, and well, even card magic. I even worked on a riverboat for a while. And the problem is, when you're doing a magic show, the instant you make a mistake and the audience sees what you're doing, you have lost them. Doesn't matter what you're going to do for the rest of the show, you will not have, they have seen the magician's hand. They don't even have to see exactly what happened. They just have to see that something happened. And that's it. You've lost them. That suspension of disbelief is gone. And they're just sitting there waiting for you to make that next mistake. Well, that's what ClimateGate is. The extra ace fell out of the government's sleeve, and everybody saw it happen. Hasn't stopped them from test marketing the next big scary thing that you're supposed to be afraid of. Look back at the history of all the things, the government and the media. Remember we were talking about Michael Crichton's media political legal complex that superseded the military-industrial complex. And we're seeing it. Y2K, killer bees, swine flu, bird flu, SARS, the pandemic this, global warming that, the commies, the terrorists, carbon dioxide, all the things that were constantly being, the asteroids coming down. They're starting to run that one on National Geographic again. All the things that the government tells us we have to be afraid of that only they can save us from. And now that global warming has collapsed, well and truly, they're test marketing all these other things. And the one we got today is they're going back to acid rain. This is one they tried to sell to us a long time ago. And basically it's just saying, okay, the world is getting cooler. All right, we blew that one. But, you know, all that extra carbon dioxide in the water, that turns it into an acid. Oh, it's acid. We're going to get acid rain. Okay, well, what they're talking about is carbonic acid, which is what you get in any kind of carbonated beverage. Whether it's, mineral water, Perrier, Pellegrino, Coca-Cola, the bubbles are carbon dioxide. And the concoction of carbon dioxide dissolved into water is called carbonic acid. And yes, it's an acid. And yes, if you leave a tooth in it a long time, it'll dissolve. It is, in fact, an acid. But it's not something that's going to bring about the end of the world. The fact is that if you look at stone from very ancient times, you will see that rain has been acidic all along. Because coming down through the atmosphere, it picks up carbon dioxide. So this is another classic case of taking something that actually happens in nature and saying it's all your fault and you must pay us an acid rain tax to fix it. And then Al Gore will set up a brokerage and there'll be an acid rain credit and offset and cap, and we'll buy and sell and we'll all get rich and the planet will get poor. So that's what's going on. Climate is what we expect, and weather is what we're going to get. Now, interestingly enough, over in the European Union, they're finally coming to the conclusion that their push for biofuels has significantly harmed food production in developing countries. These are countries where people are already going hungry. And in Africa, Central America, and Asia, they have set aside farmland to try and grow biofuels, and as a result, the starvation is increasing. It's a repeat of what we had here in the United States, where they took food, farmlands, said, oh no, you got to grow crops for ethanol production. And it triggered food shortages and price increases in the United States. Then the floods came along and destroyed even more farmland because the government wasn't taking care of the flood control. And it just made the problem worse. They don't learn from their mistakes, these government people. All right, that's for our show. We'll be back tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. Stay safe, stay well, and aloha, America.